Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
When we come into union with Christ, what happens to Christ is credited to have happened to us. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also were raised into a newness of life. So he says, now we should walk in the newness of life.
I will no longer die to what he died to. Because he died, I'm no longer in my sins. Because he died, I can never be sick. Because he died, I can never be poor. Because he died, I can never be under a curse. Because he died, I can never be a prey to the fowler. My soul has escaped. Through his blood,
step into the world of infinite possibilities as you listen to Pastor David Ibichiku today.
There is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty grants him the understanding. Lift your hands and say, Father, breathe afresh. Thank you for quickening our understanding, that we might be filled with the knowledge of your will. Thank you for stirring up the wisdom of Christ within our hearts, that we might come into the manifestations, the full manifestations of our glorious inheritance of wealth. According to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for moving my heart and for moving the heart of the church to ordain this church for growth. I'm putting it that in the next 3 months, as we devote ourselves to the scriptures, to the wisdom of God, and to divine encounters and impartations of grace, that men will break forth into levels of financial abundance and financial dominion. That wealth will find purpose in our hands and will bring glory to your name. Thank you, Father. Thank you for teaching us. Thank you for taking care of us. We open up our hearts now and receive of the abundance of your wisdom today. In Jesus' name. If you love the Lord, say a very big amen. Clap those hands and give him praise this morning. Help me welcome two people by your side, to the left and to the right. If you don't know who they are, introduce yourselves. Get to know their names. And tell them, let's go make some money. How many of you want to make some money? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Ask your neighbor, I hope you are with your notes. Take down what we are doing. We are on a series, Understanding True Financial Prosperity. Somebody say, Understanding True Financial Prosperity. And we have done the introduction. We've told us that financial prosperity doesn't answer to mere wishes or misdirected prayers. And we say you don't just pray yourself into financial prosperity. You learn your way. It answers to the understanding of the covenant. There is a covenant of financial prosperity. And then the application of the truth. God has wisdom loaded in the scriptures. An inexhaustible wisdom loaded that will bring anyone financial success from one level of success to another. And we told you there are four levels in financial prosperity, right? Can you remind me, what's the first level? Financial lack. We call it not enough level. What's the second level? You learn your way. What's the second level? Financial independence. So in the journey of financial prosperity, you have to check, where am I? Where am I want to? What do we say financial independence is? Just enough. You have enough. You don't have to beg anybody for your basic needs, for the things you need to do to take care of your life and the visions you have. And then what's the third level? Financial abundance. What do we call it? More than enough. That's the level of the overflow, where it's no longer just about you. God is using you to touch a whole lot of lives. You're blessing others. You're overflowing. And the aim, our objective in this journey, so you don't get to a place, you know, someone that's never seen chicken before, that they only gave chicken, you know, on Christmas Day. And chicken is like one big deal in their family. If you give them chicken, hey God, they can't eat and remain. The whole bones, everything must report. When people are deprived, the little you give them, they think is abundance. Mediocrity becomes abundance in the eyes of the deprived. What did I say? So one little thing becomes big, and the person's shoulder pad will just go very high. The person will just be walking on the street like this because he's seen little thing. Just that one young guy bought GL350. Nobody's hearing again. The carrying girls anyhow, because he picked common 100 million naira. Common. Little 100 million. He feels like he's on top of the world. Even his parents cannot talk to him anymore, let alone elders. Suddenly going to church is now too much of a task. You'll start hearing it, you know, church is for those who are poor. Church is for poor people who need the help of God. We have helped ourselves. And you hear different kind of languages. Don't stop on this journey until you get to the fourth level. That's God's mandate. Be fruitful. Multiply. Fill the earth. And what? Subdue. Fourth. There is a fourth level. That's what? Financial. Financial what? What's that level? Much more than enough. That's where God can use your finances to dictate his program and agenda on earth. Your finances and your economic power can be used by God to change policies of nations, to decide the direction of nations. It's a foolish church, and we are not one. It's foolish Christians that enter the conversation that undermines the importance and the seriousness of making money and making loss of it. There are only two sets of people that want the church and Christians broke. Or if they will be rich, let them just be decently rich, not more. And that's why when they see anybody who names the name of Christ, anybody who says he's a man of God and he has wealth, the persecution, they start shouting. Don't worry. Only two sets of people. One, the devil. Two, his children. Because a true believer, not a churchgoer, a righteous man that fears God and loves the Lord, a man whose heart is after the Lord, a real kingdom man with wealth, is serious danger to the kingdom of darkness. Do you understand that? Wave your hands if you're getting me. Come on, say, I hear. Give God praise if you're getting it. Today we are going to begin another set of things. We are still under this series. But hear me, you're going to begin to understand what I'm going to teach you today by the grace of God will unveil, unravel that mystery. You need to understand what true financial prosperity is. Because it's not just having money. If it is having money and someone kidnaps people and they pay him some money and he becomes a billionaire because he kidnaps somebody or he kidnapped people for a period of time, that means God is prospering the person. That's not prosperity. People are fraudulent. I know a young man that the father, after he had worked for over 35 years, retired. They paid him his gratuity about 8 to 10 million, I think so. And these small boys came and collected everything. Fraudulently. That they are doing Yahoo. This man was hit with stroke. He will just sit down and be crying. And say, what a fool he is. What a fool. God, take his life. He'll be saying, God, take his life. He'll be just be shouting it. Shouting it. The children had to call me to intervene. That is not over. He said, what else? All he labored for. He didn't have too much. Look at all he planned. See. And now, you know, that guy is using it to go and stay in an apartment. Buy a car. Carrying the best girls, buying them iPhone. And somebody, a girl, you see a young man with questionable source of income, he buys you iPhone, you collect. You also partake of the course. Oh, you don't know. You don't know. Oh, if you don't know, now know. And somebody, a father and a mother, is dancing. Your children bring something unquestionable and build a house, and you enter, and you're a Christian. You are even a pastor, a deacon, an elder, and you say God is prospering your family. You didn't ask your child. My father, you couldn't bring anything into his house. He will ask you. My mother will question you, where is this coming from? Tell me, where do you get? What are you doing? Some parents are now pushing their daughters into high-level prostitution. Some are in Nigeria, some are outside Nigeria. They come out, they refurnish the house, they buy car, they buy George. Then the mother will be dancing. Oh, bro, na nwa, onye genyem. Oh, bro, na nwa, onye genyem. And the people will sit down and say, God has blessed. What God will judge is too much. Please, let me inform you. If you steal money from people, don't even give a dime of it in this church. If you do, it will hasten your judgment. This altar is pure. Did you hear what I said? This altar is what? Keep it to yourself. I don't want a thing the grace of God doesn't bring. I don't want. This altar is. There are some people who call themselves pastors. They are babalawos. They call themselves apostles, prophets. You can go there. They will be blessing your laptop. But after said and done, when I show you the mystery of kingdom wealth, you will know, you will never want anything that is of the devil. It's nonsense. It's like God preparing a diamond crown full of precious stones, rubies, and most precious stones. And the devil gives you a bronze tool to take. That what the devil offers can't match. Still from now to tomorrow, you can't have more money than me. The wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. Powerful. That's the wisdom that created the heavens and the earth. The wisdom of God is not inferior. It's superior on all counts. On every level. And the beautiful thing about it is you'll be enjoying peace with God. Peace on earth. Peace, nothing missing, nothing broken. Without fear of any evil. And yet you'll be rising higher and making serious money. Somebody say money. Call it because money is at home with you. Money likes me a lot. I'm a money magnet. So let me take you through a subtitle under understanding through the different means of financial prosperity. The different means of financial prosperity. Write this down. True financial prosperity is known, number one, by its source. What's the source? True financial prosperity is known, number one, by its source. What's the source? Number two, it's known by its purpose. What's the purpose for that money? What is it supposed to be used for? What is it being used for? What is that money supposed to accomplish? And then number three, by its end. What's the end of that prosperity? There are people God was managing until they made more money. So the Bible says, the prosperity of fools, what? Destroys them. So you see, that is not true financial prosperity. Prosperity that ends in destruction is not prosperity. Jesus said, what will it profit a man to gain the whole world and suffer the loss of his soul? So you see the end of it. The man get the own world. So some people say it's better leave the world, give me Jesus. I say, shut up. Is that what Jesus was saying? He said, what will it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Why don't you put it this way? I will gain the whole world and gain my soul. Why must you leave the whole world? Who was the world meant for? For unbelievers? And you have to differentiate between the age, the aeon, and the cosmos. You have to understand the world. We are not talking about worldliness. We are talking about the world, the earth. Look at the beautiful arrangement and creation of God upon this earth. Look at what God said. He said the cattle of the thousand hills are what? Are mine. He said the gold is mine. The silver is what? Is that not the world? That's cosmos. Everybody says cosmos. Yes. And right here on earth, while the people of the world and the people of this age have their own system, there is God's kingdom. We have another system, a heavenly kingdom, system that is operating right here on earth, dominating the physical. So, three key things you used to know through financial prosperity. So that what you want is to have real financial prosperity. Not just, I just have some money. Anybody can have money. You can pick money on the road. So how many things did I give you? What was the first one? His purpose and what? So, write this down. True financial prosperity is not actually known by the abundance of possessions or the flamboyance of riches. True financial prosperity is not actually known by the abundance of possessions or the flamboyance of riches. We have to start teaching us very rightly. I would like us to look at Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. Proverbs 10, 22, first. New King James, please. I would like you, anybody that is serious about supernatural prosperity, this is one of the scriptures you should always know and quote. You should know where it is and quote it well. Everybody, read and read out loud. One to go. One more time. How many of you saw the three things there? What's the source there? The blessing of the Lord. Shout it, the blessing of the Lord. Makes one what? Rich. So somebody can get rich through another means. But for a man to be rich from God, it is the blessing of the Lord that makes him rich. There is a source called the blessing of the Lord. It's real. My wife knows the blessing of her husband. You know what it means? It means that there are things you don't have audacity to say, she can say to me. There are things you don't have audacity to take. She can be telling me, Pastor, are you with anything and be going into my bag? And be collect. You can't try it. Is the blessing of the covenant between me and what? Her, as my wife. So there is the blessing of the Lord. It makes one rich. Look at the end of it. And he has. So is not big man big trouble? Is big man big grace? Big man, big peace. Big man, great rest. There are people that is big man, big trouble. Not for us. Big man, great rest. Big man, great things happen in my life. Money finds purpose in my hands. Money brings means for me. Provide means to do more and bring glory to the name of the Lord. It has. Money does not make me proud. Money makes me more loving, much more humble. I can touch many more lives. So it has a source, it has a purpose, and it has an end when you watch that. So let me give you a story. Can you get me a mic for her? I know you've not done that for a long time, so you may not have been ready with it. Get me a mic for Pastor Koma. Go to Genesis chapter 14 from verse 1. Genesis chapter 14 verse 1. Read verse 1 and 2. 1. I don't know if you can see that in there. They have to fix that place.
And it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elasa, Shedolama, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of nations, that they made.
Wait, go back to verse 1. Let's see how many kings. Want to go?
And it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar.
One.
Arioch, king of Elasa.
Two.
Chedorlaomer, king of Elam.
Three.
And Tidal, king of nations.
Four. How many kings? How many nations? How many kings? So watch that, four kings. Look at verse 2.
That they made war with Bera, king of Sodom.
So let's see this. So you have this allied force. Of four kings. They came together. Like you have the NATO forces. You have most of Europe, especially the Western Europe. You have Australia and some people in the North America, America and Canada, right? You have the NATO forces. And sometimes you have the Eastern forces that they know themselves. Iran, Russia, wherever you see Russia, you see Iran, you see North Korea, then you see who? China. They are, so anytime they gather, it's just that China is very slippery. Their own is making money. It's deal, deal, deal. So no matter how you do, they will just remove their eyes from, they don't want to fight with anybody. They just want to make money. Amen? They just are just trying to show America that you're not all powerful. So these four kings from four nations, allied forces combining. Let's look at the kings they are now coming to fight. They made war with who?
Bera, king of Sodom.
One.
Besha, king of Gomorrah.
Two.
Shinab, king of Adma.
Three.
Shemeba, king of Zeboim.
Four.
And the king of Bela, that is Zoar.
How many? Five. So four kings coming against five kings. Allied forces. Now, the major man there is King Chedorlaomer. Oga want to conquer everywhere. Because of time, I'll tell you the story. So we can get back to Lot, the nephew. Ask your neighbor, do you still remember Lot? Say, they read Bible, so. The nephew of, check if your neighbor, they read Bible. The nephew of who? So when God called Abraham, who went with him? Lot. And after a while, they separated. And Lot went to where? Sodom. So Lot is now residing in Sodom. These four kings defeated five kings. Sacked their whole cities. Burnt the things they can burn. Carried their people as slaves. And carried them and started going back to their place. They called them spoils of war. The people are slaves and their properties, their treasures. Spoils of war. And on the way, one person survived and ran to come and tell Abraham that, hey, they don't collect your nephew and all of his family. So get to verse 13. I want everybody to watch. Verse 13. Please, verse 13. Where are my guys? From verse 13, you read, want to go.
Then one who had escaped came and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, the Amorites, brother of Eshcol and brother of Anah, and they were allies with Abram.
Continue, just keep going until I tell you to stop.
Now, when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his 318 trained servants who were born in his own house.
Wait, don't pass that in. How many kings came against the king of Sodom, the king of Gomorrah, the king of Zoar? Four. Could five kings keep them away? Allied forces that defeated five nations and carried five kings. That's what a man, one man, somebody say one man. Okwa Makande, I just want a little place. I stay with myself, just me and my children. And then you're saying, the blessing of Abraham is mine.
If had I Abraham, have many sons that had Abraham.
What you're saying is you're going to have a large household. He didn't have a physical son he had given birth to at that moment with Sarah, his wife. But he already had 318 trained servants, not the ones that came. They are ones that came that now gave birth. These were not their fathers. These are youths that were already born in his house. Trained in his own house. 318. You know, they were not just sweeping house. He was a serious businessman. What business was he doing? Animal husbandry. Ranching. He was into animals. Agriculture. So the Bible says the Lord made him rich in livestock, in gold and in what? Silver. Livestock was his business. So these guys were people who were trained and they were doing business in his house. And because those days, everybody, you can be moving out there and a band of bandits will just attack. So all of them had to be trained for what? For war. They had to be trained to fight. 318 men who were born in his own house, and he went in pursuit. Has he lost his mind? Has he lost his mind? He went in pursuit of an allied forces that five kings couldn't keep out. What five kings couldn't with all their armies? 318 men with Abraham wants to take care of. It's either he's lost his mind or he knows who is backing him. Let me tell you what God taught me recently. He said, I made you an apostle of love. Keep loving. He said, always be for peace. At all times, be for peace. He said, but while you're loving and you're at peace, be prepared for war at all times. If you touch me, I touch you in a way you won't like. Be prepared for war at all times. We are trained for warfare. The enemy cannot just come into your fold and touch any of your children and just go out. Like that. Just come. Collect one of your companies. Collapse it. Come. Just touch one stream of your income. Bam. He says, somebody lied about me in the office. People, they went to somewhere and put this thing and lied and schemed because I won't steal. I won't steal doesn't mean anything. So, Pastor Ibuku Nawosikan, sit down, I will still tell you to read. Told a story. And I listened to her a lot. And if you're a business person, you should be listening to her. She told a story of how a group of people from the government and from some institutions, I'm trying to remember whether it's government or some, just a group of people came, and she was out of the country, you know, for something, and they came to her business place and they wanted some set of furniture and different things from her company. And it was big money, bigger than they've ever seen in their company. And so they said the only thing is they want to do business with them, that they want them to write that it is this amount, and write that they will share the thing with them, they will get their money, get even something on top. But they need to collect this money for this. He said in her business, she has covenants with God. He said right from when she started that business as a single lady in her 20s. He said she made a covenant. I will never sleep with a man or let a man touch my body to gain advantage for anything whatsoever for any reason. I will never lie. I will never take what is not mine. I will never defraud. By righteousness, she made certain covenants. So she trained all her people. They know the process. So her manager said, we won't do it there. We don't do it there. He said, well, call your madam. Call your CEO. There is no way she will see this money. Say, I'm telling you, this is policy. We don't do that here. And even if you call my madam, she will tell you the same thing. So she called in front of them and they finished talking to her. She said, sorry, we don't do that here. I want to tell you this story because you have to understand warfare in the business sector. If you're not ready for warfare, go home and start something else, not business. Business is survival of the fittest. What did I say? Business is not charity. Business will face stiff competition. You are against competitors. So, this happened, and she told them that she can't do that. They say, okay, sorry, they can't get the business, sorry. And then she put off the phone. He said in the night, as she was praying, something rose up, anger in her spirit. He said, okay, I won't do this doesn't mean I will lose this business. This business is mine. So she removed her shoes. When a woman wants to get ready, she removes her shoes. If you are still checking your makeup and how, you know how demure you are, you're not ready yet. When a man wants business, he puts off the phone. And in the midnight, she began, took her authority, and said, the hand of the king is in your hand. She said, Father, I demand I'm taking this business. I will not compromise and I will execute it. And she began to declare the word and declare the word and declare the word until she knew she had the note of victory. Someone say, the note of victory. She went to war with her weapons. And some may go to war with swords. They have some people they can call. Some may go with war with spears. But we come in the name of the Lord. If all you have is a sling and a stone, that glory will still come down. Somebody shout your loudest, amen. Amen. She went to war. And when she went to war, you know what happened? Immediately, these men went to different places and returned back. And said, we don't know why. The quality of other things we saw and different things. That you are the one that we want. Let's lose the money. Let's do the business. And they did that business because she went to war. Tell your neighbor, be prepared for war. Give God praise if you're getting it. Am I boring you? Am I boring you? She prepared for war. Listen carefully because I'm getting somewhere. I'm getting somewhere. Then she told a story. A particular company was so run down in Nigeria. A multinational. I'm trying to remember whether it's Cadbury or so. I want to be very exact. But one of these multinationals. And they sacked all their board. And they sent their expatriates from outside the country to reconstitute a new board in Nigeria that will oversee everything operating in Nigeria and if possible outside the country in West Africa and beyond. And she said she doesn't know she was on her own doing her thing. This business she did, the people, the expatriates came and who they came to were the people who brought that business for her. And they said their mission was to reconstitute a board of integrity. That was their mission. To pick Nigerians with impeccable integrity. And the people who wanted to do deal called the people, say search no more. There is only one woman that will chair it and constitute that board and bring people that the only one woman on her own, say she was in her office, they came to bring her. And multiple other doors, including First Bank, being First Bank chairman, all came through that one business she refused. And much more, God began to bless her. And begin. But it will take away the door that would have brought you a billion. I'm the one telling you. Trust me. There are different ways to this thing. It doesn't make sense, but it will make sense by the time I'm through teaching you. I want to teach you what true. In fact, every single time you think of money and you think of begging, you shut down your creativity center. Every time you think of money and you think of stealing, you shut down your innovative center. You're more powerful than you give yourself credit. You're more creative and innovative. You are more powerful. You are so gifted. You don't even know. Just wait. Give me and the Holy Spirit and me. Just 3 months. Give us 3 months. You see what will happen to you. Somebody is going to war with 380 men plus himself. Finish up. Because of my time. Move to verse 15. Read. Want to go?
He divided his forces against them by night, and he and his servants attacked them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. So he brought back all the goods.
Everybody read verse 16 and read it out very loud. I want to hear your voices very loud. Want to go? How many of the goods did he bring back? The Lord said I should prophesy to someone. You will recover all. You will recover all. You've made mistakes. You lost businesses. You've lost opportunities. Some of them by your making. You've lost time. You've lost years. And it's as if things have moved ahead of you. People have moved ahead of you. People you started with have already moved so much ahead of you. The Spirit of the Lord said I should prophesy. I stand upon this hallowed altar. I raise my voice before the presence of the Lord and declare you are recovering all. Everybody read that verse 16. Sit down. One, two, go. So he brought back all goods and also brought back his brother Lot and his goods, as well as the women and the people. Continue reading, Pastor Koma. Verse 17. Fast. I have a few minutes. Yes?
And the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Shaveh. That is the king's valley. After his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him.
Hey, I have heard. Once I hear, it's expressed. Once I hear, the Lord said I should tell you, you will return from the defeat of those who were mightier than you. I know your brand is just the youngest brand starting up. I know your brand is not the most financed brand. I know that there are conglomerates mightier than you playing in the same field. Some of them, you are not even as big as them, but they're already working against you. In the name of Jesus, you will return from their defeat. In the name of Jesus. One of your greatest testimonies this 6 months will be the victory and the triumph over a people, over systems that seems naturally mightier than you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Sit down. Just give me about 5 minutes more. Yes.
Then Melchizedek, king
everybody,
of Salem.
Everybody, watch this.
Then Melchizedek, everybody, king of Salem.
Everybody, watch this. Waiting, give Abraham liver. Men, we speak Niger pidgin. Men carry 380 men. He has an unseen covering. Now, this Melchizedek, who was the king of Salem, means Jerusalem. He was reigning over Jerusalem at that moment. So he was a king of peace, Salem, and also called the king of righteousness. Without genealogy, was the one, I want you to listen carefully, one of those that mentored Abraham. and raised him. That's where Abraham let Titan from. And this thing is rooted back to Noah. I'm going to teach you later. Back to Noah. I'm going to show you. There was no law of Moses. There was no law. So when people say, you're tithing, you're thinking, preaching the law. Shut up. You don't know anything about tithing. Tithing didn't start with the law. Tithing was introduced with the law, but didn't start with the law. It's just like saying, you shall not kill. You shall not kill. You shall not kill. Started with the law. You shall not kill that didn't start with the law. And so, even as new creation, you still observe you shall not what? But now, not as a law, but by the promptings, this law has now been written where? In your heart. So when there is no compulsion, ordinance, and a man is practicing something, it means he's practicing it by revelation and by the promptings of what is in his heart. So hold your neighbor. Because we are going to teach you the secret of these things. Genesis 14, 18. Read to your neighbor. Want to go? King of Shalom brought out bread and wine. What's that? What's that? Communion. What does communion stand for? Covenant. Covenant. That's why supernatural financial prosperity is a covenant. I'm going to show you. These things is a covenant. Oh. You don't just add, I'm prosperous. The Lord bless my work. It does not have. You can enjoy financial independence. Some miniature levels of, you can know abundance and dominion without covenant. It's covenant. He brought that bread. He was the priest of the Most High God. Verse 19. Continue reading to that neighbor. Don't leave those hands. Those are blessed hands. Want to go? And bless him and say what? Possessor. Who did he call the possessor of heaven and earth? God. Tell your neighbor, my father owns it all. And he willed it to me in Christ Jesus. I don't want us to rush faster. We have time. So 3 months, I will teach you this thing precept by precept. But we're marking these things. So he blessed. You will see that Abraham's source of prosperity is coming from the blessing. Genesis 12, and God blessed him. Genesis 14, Melchizedek blessed him. So it's not just God, but the priest of God blessed him. So look at verse 20. Everybody read. Want to go? So let me ask you, who gave Abraham victory over an allied nation that 5 kings couldn't defeat? Is it the skillfulness of the men? Is it the number of the men? If you understand this, they will pack their G-Wagon, pack their Maybach, and maybe you're just starting and you came with Corolla. You will pack the Corolla. Come with your best and say, collect the contract and walk out. I will show you the things of the spirit. Why some men who don't know God want to go to burial grounds, want to go to rivers? I will show you. I will show you the things of the spirit and how practically it translates to wealth. You will go to war with little and come back with heads of giants. The Lord is prompting me to tell you, cities shall fall into your hands. Regions and nations shall fall into your hands. Now, did Abraham give him the tithe to be blessed? Or did Abraham give him the tithe after he was blessed? There's a difference between tithing under the law. Under the law, you tithe so you attract a blessing. In grace, you tight because you're blessed. Your tithe is not bribing God. Your tithe is a contract, a covenant with God. That He is first. That He is your victory. That He is your source. Every time you tithe, you circumcise your money. You bring your business and you tie it to the altar. And what you're doing is you're saying, this business is not the source of my prosperity. Just like Abraham knew that those 318 men won't give him victory. He knows who gives him victory. That's where the boldness came from. So he knows the windows of heaven are open over him. Like Elijah, he knew that he's going with 318 men, but there is a there is a legion of chariots. Angels with flaming swords cutting men down. One man will move his sword, 20 will go down. The supernatural. It didn't stop him from training 318 men. So we are going to teach you the practical, natural side. Because without the 318 men, God didn't have anybody to use. It didn't stop him from doing his business. He grew his business such he could have a staff. Not all his staff, the ones that were born in his house, 318, so he had more. That's how good a manager he was. That's how good a businessman he was. He wasn't just praying and worshiping Jehovah alone. But he understood the mystery of the secret place. I will show you the hidden riches of secret places, the treasures of dark places, things that the ordinary mind can't understand. And he gave him the tithe of all. We're about to finish up. Look at verse 21. Read now.
Now the king of Sodom said to Abraham, give me the persons and take the goods for yourself. But Abraham said to the king of Sodom.
Everybody, listen to what Abraham said. So you understand the source. He said, you know some people that money is their God and their belly is their God. When the king says, that's how even some pastors, once they see people, what they first see is money. They have ushers who take care of people who came with big cars. Take their numbers and bring to pastor. How are you? I have some of my closest sons, many of them here. They'll come and tell me, pastor, we bought a new car. I said, that's good. Glory to God. How is it? I get excited because my son is doing well. How is it? Wonderful. I don't dedicate cars. That's the work of other believers and the pastors. So as I'm, if by adventure the person is graced and privileged that I'm walking out then, but you cannot carry me from my seat to go and see a car. That's not my work. If I'm coming out and the person now shows me, say, pastor, is this one? I will say, wow, look at it. And I'm always very excited. But guess what? The next week, I don't even know what your car looks like. I'm so focused on your soul, I don't remember if you carry a watch. You will never hear me speak a thing about how much this is, how much that is. Never. He said, I have raised my hand to the Lord. When did he raise it? Tight. That's when he raised it. I have given God worship. I gave him tight of all. I have raised my hands to the Lord, God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. Look at verse 23. What he says. That I will not take nothing from you. I'm telling you, I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap. That I won't take anything that is yours. Lest you say, I made Abraham rich. Now, you know that there was a time Abimelech was told to give him things. God was the one who said it, so he gave. Pharaoh was meant to give him things. But in those ones, they were kneeling down. God said, you should pray for us. God visited us in the night. You are a prophet. So God said, collect. He collected it. This time around, he told them, tomorrow you say you made me rich. I won't take. God didn't tell me to collect it. I won't take. Lift your hands. Say, Father, strengthen my heart with the integrity of righteousness that I will never take or covet from any man, from any government, from any system, what your grace is not giving me. Look at verse 23. Verse 24. Except only what the young men had eaten, have eaten, and the three portions, the portion of the men who went with me, give them their own. Anna, Eskol, and Mame, let them take their portion. So as they were moving, God started sending him help. You might be little, but God will give you great help. This 6 months, you will enjoy great help. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's how they were coming, all of them. So write this thing down. From next Sunday, we will have time for it. Three major means, or three different means, not major. Three different means of financial prosperity. Number one, natural means. That is a natural means of financial prosperity. Number two, I won't teach it. There is demonic means of wealth. I won't call it financial prosperity. Prosperity and demonic don't go together. There is demonic means of wealth. And then number three, there is kingdom means, God's kingdom, God's way of prospering people. God has a way he prospers people. Kingdom means of financial prosperity. Kingdom means. Those are the three. From next Sunday, we will begin to pick them one by one. And I will show you what to deal with and how to relate with. And we will break them down very practically. But as we are closing, I want to show you the next verse after Abraham did this. Because when you choose God's means, like Abraham chose, what you will see as the end is the next verse, which is Genesis 15:1. That's the next verse. Stand on your feet. Is somebody learning? Hold that neighbor. Now read to your neighbor. Want to go. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Say, do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield. Some are chasing money. Some God is becoming for them what they will ever need. I am your shield, your defense. Don't be afraid. No one. You gave me thanks. You worshiped me with the tithe from the spoils of your victory. You went to war, came back. I prospered you and you gave me a tithe of it. I am your shield. I am your shield. Nobody will defeat you. And Abraham never lost a battle. Abraham never lost a territory, not one. I am your exceeding great reward. Please take about 30 seconds to 60 seconds. Close your eyes and lift your heart to the Lord. Begin to worship Him and tell Him, you are my shield and my exceeding great reward. Bless His name. Say, I refuse to fear. Not what man can do against me. I do not. I refuse to fear whether I'm going to be successful. I refuse to fear whether things are going to work out for me. I know they are going to work out. I refuse to fear I won't go down. Thank you for all you do. We give you praise, Father, and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' precious and mighty name, we pray.
Thank you so much for listening to this message by Pastor David Ifechukwu. Follow us on any of our social media platforms using the handle @MyLambWorld or contact us at 806-275-3311 to purchase and listen to more life-changing messages by Pastor David Ifechukwu.